So for college students, you know, there's a lot of extra challenge in trying to not only support yourself, but meet these challenging academic goals at the same time.
College can be stressful for any student, but it's especially challenging for those facing food insecurity. Welcome to Carolina Connection. I'm Maddie Policastro.
And I'm Raina Drake. Also this week, an initiative from the School of Social Work provides a new student mental health resource. UNC's men's basketball team is full of new faces, creating mixed feelings among fans. And an English professor holds unconventional office hours to promote poetry on the basketball court.
It's just a ridiculous medium to get to read your own work and share it with people, and ridiculous in the best of ways.
From the UNC Hussman School of Journalism and Media, this is Carolina Connection.
Thank you for joining us for our last program of the semester. As UNC students take their final exams, campus mental health services are preparing for what is often the busiest time of the year. Over the past several years, students have experienced some of the university's most difficult moments. The university has some new resources, and some well-established ones, that provide counseling and treatment. Brooks Stevenson has more.
As students prepare for final exams, many are also turning to mental health resources to manage stress. For some students, mental health resources have gone through many changes, especially during challenging semesters that left many students needing support. Mary Elizabeth Policastro was a first year in the fall of 2021 when multiple students died by suicide. She says the campus felt overwhelmed, and so did the counseling system.
It was a time where a lot of students who probably weren't going to utilize the CAPS resources or university-led resources in the past were seeking them out. So I remember the university being somewhat aware of that and thinking like, okay, how do we make sure that everyone gets access, but also we aren't overloading?
Concerns about long wait times for counseling and psychological services, or CAPS, were widespread. The News and Observer reported that some students waited as long as 3 weeks for an appointment. At CAPS, Director Avery Cook says they have had moments of high demand, but are prepared to serve students throughout the year.
We know the student schedule, we know the pace of the semester, so we're always ready to see more walk-ins when those happen, and also to kind of provide follow-up care as we move towards the end of the semester.
Cook says many students know CAPS for its brief individual therapy, but that's only one piece of what they offer. CAPS also provides walk-in appointments, a 24/7 mental health helpline, group therapy, and embedded therapists within certain academic programs. Cook says walk-ins remain open to everyone, especially now.
There's never a time where we're full or we've seen too many. It's always accessible to them. And if a student's walked in before, they can always walk in again.
But CAPS is not the only source of support on campus. This fall, UNC School of Social Work introduced two peer well-being coaches, offering short-term, goal-focused sessions for students living in Carolina housing. One coach, Drew Mincy, says the program is meant to be approachable and different from traditional therapy.
It's kind of like having office hours with a peer. It's a space in which you're there for your success, and you have someone who's going to kind of help guide you through the process.
Mincy also says these sessions can make a difference for students feeling stressed during finals.
If you're looking for a non-therapeutic space to kind of take inventory of everything and break things down into smaller steps, I think it can be really helpful for someone who is feeling overwhelmed.
As a student who's been at UNC for several years, Policastro says one of the most overlooked yet powerful sources of support is often the simplest, your peers.
Just within my personal master's cohort, you know, you make friends, you talk about just the day-to-day life of, you know, work, classes, everything in between, and so you find support in that way as someone who you can relate to.
And despite moments of challenges and even grief, she says UNC's community has been a solid network of support throughout her time as a student.
One thing that I've always been very impressed about within the UNC community, it makes me very proud to be a Tar Heel, is how connected the student body can be when it comes to supporting each other in times of grieving and loss.
As finals week approaches, students like Policastro, along with CAPS and the new peer well-being coaches, hope the student body know these resources are here for them during times of stress, isolation, and grief. In Chapel Hill, I'm Brooke Stevenson.
If you are a student looking for support, CAPS is available 24/7 at 919-966-3658. And students interested in peer well-being coaching can fill out the interest form on the UNC School of Social Work website. Anyone who needs urgent support can call 988, the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline.
Another challenge for some students is accessing nutritious and affordable food. But an organization working to expand food access across the state and a student-run food pantry are fighting to make sure no Tar Heel goes hungry. Here's Rachel Moody with more. Here inside the Carolina Cupboard Community Food Pantry, students, staff, and faculty are free to take from the wire shelves and refrigerators stocked with grape jelly, peanut butter, canned green beans, and other goods. Savannah Ransom is one of the student volunteers on shift.
Well, it's kind of like a mixture of things. Like, we have bananas right now, and they're a little overripe.
Corey Robinson is a senior at UNC, majoring in psychology, who visits the food pantry about once a month.
I have some jalapeno slices and some banana peppers and some chicken broth. I'm going to look around more to see what else is here today.
He has an on-campus job that helps him pay for groceries.
So let's say I have about a budget of $150, depending on how much money I get from my job or how much I work. I try to budget that out by allotting about $70 to meats that I can grab. That'll be good for me for the long run. Other utensils and groceries, I try to keep below $50 because those can be a bit cheaper, but meat is more so the most expensive thing.
Robinson budgets to buy groceries about once a month, but says he sometimes struggles to stay under that amount.
So that's the reason why I come to the food pantry. Prices of groceries can definitely get a lot. So things like canned goods, some cereals, or even tissues and stuff I come here for.
The price of groceries and food and rent have risen in recent years, and wages are not keeping up with that.
Andrew Harrell is the communications manager for Carolina Hunger Initiative, an organization that works with federal nutrition programs to distribute grants, provide nutrition education, and overall expand food access across the state.
So for college students, you know, there's a lot of extra challenge in trying to not only support yourself, but meet these challenging academic goals at the same time.
In 2020, a national study found that about 3.8 million, or 23% of undergraduate students, experienced food insecurity, meaning they dealt with limited or uncertain access to nutritious foods.
So I think a lot of people are really surprised that food insecurity is such a big problem for college students. And we know that for the college students who are eligible for SNAP, 2 out of 3 of them are not enrolled.
After a nearly 2-week suspension, funding for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program has been reinstated. But next month brings changes to work requirements due to the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, a massive bill signed into law by President Trump this past summer.
We do have a lot of concerns about SNAP and the future of the program and the support for the program, but college students right now shouldn't worry about changes that are coming.
Harrell says Carolina Hunger Initiative doesn't currently expect college students' eligibility for SNAP to be affected by the changes.
We still really encourage them to check their eligibility on nccollegefoodbenefits.org and apply for this program if they're eligible.
So overall this semester so far, when we have a couple weeks left, we've had about 860 visits, which is much higher than some of our previous semesters.
Megan Conroy is a senior at UNC and the president of Carolina Cupboard, the hub of the Carolina Food Pantry Network. The room is located inside the Student and Academic Services Building North.
I've been with the Carolina Cupboard since my freshman year, and we probably had like 400, 500 visits for the whole semester. So looking at doubling that, which is really exciting for us, but definitely shows that need has increased and that we're getting our name out there.
A spokesperson from UNC Media Relations says they're expecting the number of visits to the Carolina Food Pantry Network to increase in November and December. In Chapel Hill, I'm Rachel Moody.
With December graduation just around the corner, the job market for these new grads looks very different from the years before. With artificial intelligence reshaping entry-level positions, students are preparing for a hiring landscape that's getting tougher to navigate. Marguerite Stuess reports.
A recent Wall Street Journal article sheds light on the future job market for the college class of 2026. As layoffs rise and AI is able to complete more entry-level tasks, the hiring market for next year's graduating class is looking competitive and bleak.
When my brother was in school like 4 years earlier and he was graduating, he was focusing on applying to jobs in the cities that he wanted to, but now I'm just applying to any job and kind of just moving to whatever city I can find a job in.
Olivia Sutton is a senior economics and management and society major at UNC. After completing her virtual real estate internship the summer after her junior year, she's back on the hunt for a postgraduate position. She's used some of her older alumni friends to help get her name out at job positions she has applied for.
I think networking is one of the most helpful things right now, especially with the lack of entry-level jobs. You kind of have to know people to get your name in the door.
According to CNBC, AI is playing a large part in the cut of entry-level jobs in order to streamline operations and cut costs for large companies. On top of that, economic uncertainty is another factor contributing to a more conservative hiring market. Gerald Cohen, chief economist of the Kenan Institute of Private Enterprise, sheds light on this market.
I want to acknowledge the fact that the labor market is loosening, but also say that it's not clear how much of that is AI related versus just general weakness in the economy. So, you know, Amazon saying they're cutting 14,000 jobs, is how much of that is the economy is weakening, which is what we're seeing in the data, and how much is saying we see redundancies.
With an uncertain economic outlook, hiring more conservatively is less of a financial risk for companies.
It's a big commitment to hire somebody, you train them up, it takes time, it takes energy. And you know, if you're worried about what the future looks like, you may not make that commitment.
Cohen gives his advice to 2026 and future university graduates.
What I would be doing is thinking, how can I harness AI to make me more efficient, but to make me more important as well?
Gazelle Johnston is helping students with that question. Almost 5 years ago, Johnston started June Solutions, a Charlotte-based career consulting company. Johnston primarily helps students transition from college into the workforce. She has a view of both sides of the job market, both the applicants and the employers.
Reliance on automation, that has just kind of gone from being a part of the process to really being a part of every step of the process, from learning about companies, reading about job descriptions, applying for roles, going through the early screening process.
Johnston sees how AI is changing employment and workforce dynamics and brings her own idea of how students and employers should approach this changing landscape.
What do young people graduating college looking for work need to have at their fingertips or need to be skilled in so that they are still competitive? That's part of what I always kind of emphasize is, hey, like, let's not panic about what the market looks like. Instead, let's look at what you're capable of, what your skills are, what else you need to do to augment your resume, so to speak, so that you are best suited to enter this market and be successful.
AI may be reducing some pathways in the job market, but it's also creating new ones. For the next generation of graduates, the future will depend on how well they learn to work with the technology reshaping the hiring process itself. In Chapel Hill, I'm Marguerite Stuess.
You're listening to Carolina Connection, the weekly student newscast from UNC's Hussman School of Journalism and Media. I'm Raina Drake.
And I'm Maddie Policastro. UNC's men's basketball team is 7-1 after Tuesday's big win against Kentucky. The team's roster changed dramatically from last season, in part because of recent developments like the transfer portal, name, image, likeness, and direct compensation to student athletes. This will be the first time since the 05-06 season that UNC didn't return a player who started more than 20 games. Andrew Sellers has more on how fans are connecting with the new players.
UNC basketball has rebuilt its team from the ground up. What does that mean for fans? Historically, fans have had multiple years to connect with players, guys like Tyler Hansbrough and RJ Davis. Now, only one starter from last year is back, Seth Trimble, and he's out due to an injury. Though he's expected to return, that won't be for at least a few more weeks. Why so much shakeup? The transfer portal, NIL, and direct student athlete compensation play a role. For fans like Tracy Mansfield, a 2004 UNC graduate, the personnel changes bring mixed emotions.
I am kind of old school, and I have had a hard time being like, oh man, like the whole no more 4 years. It's kind of like there's a lot of change. But the guys that Carolina gets, they're so likable and they're wonderful people, and so I'm going to be supportive regardless.
Mansfield attended the Kansas game at the Dean Dome last month, a game the newly rebuilt team won. After the game, Seth Trimble, who was injured just 2 days later, said he took on a leadership role to bring the new players into the Carolina fold. And he says most of that work building team chemistry was done before the season even started.
You don't even think about it now. It's completely, it's 100%. But we did such a good job of hanging out in the summertime, building that connection off of the court. So we really had that trust with each other on the court.
Fans I spoke to do seem to appreciate familiar faces, but they also like winning. Art Chansky is a sports writer and commentator on WCHL, where he has contributed for decades. He's been a Carolina fan even longer than that. He was a sports editor at the Daily Tar Heel way back in 1971, and he's written numerous books about Carolina athletics.
You know, it used to be where the name on the front of the uniform was more important than the name on the back of the uniform, and it's debatable now whether that's the case. When I was coming up and covering Carolina basketball, it was like a family to the fans as well as themselves, because the kids were there 3 and 4 years, you got to know them better. But it's never been like it is now in terms of the way they can move from program to program.
Players transfer for all kinds of reasons, but Chansky says there's one big one.
At the end of the day, it's about money. So when the decision comes, it's usually the money that talks.
However, Chansky is still a Carolina fan. He's excited to see players like Wilson take the court in Carolina blue. Moreover, he says this is just the state of the game. For UNC to compete, they have to meet the moment and do all they can to win. Today, that means transfers and 11 new faces on the team.
So the fans really have to adjust to what's happening now, and they can listen to their fathers and grandfathers talk about the great Dean Smith teams of the 60s and 70s. It was a whole different ballgame back then.
Back outside the Dean Dome, Mansfield says she's ready for UNC's newest chapter.
I'm a huge Carolina fan, have been forever, and I am super excited about this team because I feel like there's just so much energy and I feel like there's great leadership.
For now, the new team season has been promising, and most fans I spoke to are welcoming the change. In Chapel Hill, I'm Andrew Sellers.
As the face of UNC basketball changes, so do pickup games around campus. A pickup basketball game usually involves music and the occasional smack talk, but one UNC professor shoots hoops while reciting poetry. She calls these office hour games, Oh Shoot. Anthony Guerra Flores has more.
I would hear a poem.
Yeah, sorry. Who wants to read a poem?
At the basketball courts near Cobb Residence Hall, Gabrielle Cavalcaresi leads a group of about 8 students in a friendly shoot-around.
That's okay.
She's the one wearing a Big Bird t-shirt that matches the color of her orange and white striped ball.
Oh yeah, shoot at the same time!
In coincidence, between the baskets,
reading Audre Lorde.
3, 2, 1.
Nobody keeps score in these games. Cavalcaresi wants them to be non-competitive. What she hopes is that students will use the sport to explore the openness of poetry and decompress a lot of the baggage that comes from such a competitive sport.
I like to think of Oh Shoot as a place also where we can just like, who knows, just like a pickup game, like who knows who's going to show up, but like we're going to all learn a lot.
And this can mean a lot of things. Sometimes students discuss the stresses of academia. Other times they're celebrating writing a new draft of a poem. Cavalcaresi wants this time to be full of movement that helps not only her students, but also her own poetic craft and her disability.
I have a visual disability called nystagmus, and I thought, gosh, I want to do that. I started to do it. I started loving doing it. And I also thought, how am I going to find time to do it? And I realized that both myself and a lot of people I knew, including students, I think, often don't have time in their day to just like move their bodies around outside.
She says she loves when students feel in tune with their bodies and feel confident in a space that is at times very cutthroat.
Really, like for the first time, people really talked about gym class and like how painful that space was for a lot of them. I had a basketball hoop at my grandparents' house. I would play all day long like all day long. But like the minute I went to school and like got on the basketball court, like nobody wanted me on that court.
Alexander Gass calls himself the Oshute Power Forward and is in the senior honors thesis for poetry at UNC. He says Oshute falls right after his thesis class and allows him to de-stress after a long day.
So getting to like talk about poetry with people who care about poetry in like a like goofy basketball setting is like such a joy. And sometimes we don't even talk about poetry. It's just like hanging out outside with people you love.
And Gast, after all the three-pointers, often reads to the entire group the poems he's been working on throughout the semester. He says it's quite rewarding.
When I'm giving a reading or even just getting workshopped in class, I just care about it so much that I always get super anxious. Then all of a sudden be like reading a poem you've never read out loud before, or reading a poem that reveals something about you, and being surrounded by people you love who are all sweaty from doing layups. And I don't know, it's just a ridiculous medium to get to read your own work and share it with people. And ridiculous in the best of ways.
Luna Ho is a recent UNC grad working on her MFA. She loves how her poetry and hookshot contributes to the small community of writers.
Like a poem lives on the page, but then like to be able to kind of hear it in the air and kind of like have it live in community with other people in different forms. Like it's so magical to get to sort of revision your work through that lens and to sort of try out.
And after a long day of dribbling, reading, prompt making, and jump shotting, the perfect swish makes everyone feel the confidence and support of Oshute.
Yes!
Kafo Karesi says this is her favorite part.
What we all look forward to is that feeling of just like cheering each other on and also being like, we're here, we get to be here.
And Kafo Karesi doesn't just confine her poetry to the basketball court. After a recent Oshute session, she went to the Center for the Study of the American South on Franklin Street, where she was celebrated for being a National Book Award finalist for her latest collection, The New Economy.
I want to thank everyone so much for coming out. What I know more than anything, and I really mean it, is I'm so excited to come home.
She says she'll be back on the basketball court soon. She's always happy to meet new players and poets. In Chapel Hill, I'm Anthony Guerra Flores.
On the latest edition of our Carolina Cast podcast, I break down the buzz around UNC's Beekeeping Club and its Honey for Hunger initiative. The club processed and bottled more than 200 pounds of honey, and every dollar from the sales goes straight to the Carolina Cupboard campus food pantry. Beekeeping Club president Nathan Halsey says the team never expected such a huge harvest. Every extra pound turned into a sweet surprise.
You can either have bees or like honey. And so obviously this year wasn't swarming, but I didn't realize that these bees were going to make a lot of honey. And so I'm fortunate, you know.
While tabling in the pit, the beekeepers have already raised nearly $6,000, and sales will keep rolling out over the next few weeks. Reporter Emmy Berger headed straight to the hives for a closer look at the art of beekeeping. Even suiting up to get a firsthand experience with a UNC bee colony tucked inside Battle Grove. To learn more about the UNC beekeepers, check out the Carolina Connection podcast at carolinaconnection.org or subscribe on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Finally this week, at the end of the year, Spotify users look forward to Spotify Wrapped, an annual recap of their listening history. This includes top artists, top songs, and even your listening age. I got mine this week. And for the fourth year in a row, Kali Uchis was my top artist. Maddie, what was yours?
My top artist was 21 Pilots, which I was having a little bit of a middle school throwback this year, and it really shows.
And the listening age is a new category this year. Mine was 48, which surprised me a little bit.
Yeah, I got 73, which I don't know how they determined that, but you know, I'll go with it.
Well, 73. I, for one, was really looking forward to seeing my Spotify Wrapped, and I bet other students were too. Carolina Connection's Rachel Moody went around campus to find out.
My top song was Do It Again by Steely Dan. My name is Rome Mardiev, and I'm a senior.
What was your listening age?
78 years old. I felt kind of bad at first because that's like retirement age, hospice age. But then I saw most of my friends said the same thing too, so I felt pretty good.
And what was the most surprising thing this year about your Spotify Wrapped?
When I would have a hard time falling asleep, I would low-key listen to Fairy Tales, and I had Grimm's Fairy Tales as my top listen to audiobook, so I didn't expect that.
Hi, this is Haley Abreu, and I'm a first year.
And what was your listening age?
93. I didn't understand because my top song was Party For You by Charlie XCX. I only do this party for you.
Only do this party for you, for you, for you. Hi, this is Lena. I'm a sophomore. My top artist was Hugh Jackman, which was really shocking to me.
They think that man is me. Without a second glance, the stranger they have found.
I went to a Les Mis, like, show, so I was listening to all the songs and mostly Hugh Jackman because he was my favorite performer.
Hi there, my name is Torin Christofferson and I am a junior. So my top song was Nutshell by Alice in Chains. The most surprising thing was that my top genre was emo, even though like most of my top bands and artists were not like emo, so.
Thank you for listening to Carolina Connection with us this semester. We are a production of the UNC Hussman School of Journalism and Media. We hope you enjoyed your time with us. Our technical directors are Kevin Paris and Calias Galbraith Vaudaconto. I'm Maddie Policastro.
And I'm Raina Drake. There's more to be discovered at carolinaconnection.org. You can also find our stories on Instagram, Facebook, Blue Sky, or wherever you get your podcasts. Now, back to weekend programming on 97.9 The Hill.